Midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So please join us for Noon Tunes, Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
This is WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Hello and welcome to WGTD's Community Matters. I am Xander Miller and I am sitting down with Tamara Coleman, who has been the executive director of the Shalom Center since 2019. Tamara, how are you doing today?
I'm well, Xander, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so you've been executive director since 2019. But you've been with the Shalom Center longer than that?
I have. I started in the fall of 2016, and I started off as the director of programs and operations, and then was promoted to executive director in 2019, like you said.
Okay.
And it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey.
Yeah. Could you tell me just more about the mission of the Shalom Center, the work you've done there, kind of stuff like that? Because I know of the Shalom Center, I've directed people to the Shalom Center, but I'd like to know more about the center other than just kind of, I know it's a resource a lot for folks struggling with food insecurity as well as struggling with homelessness as well. So can you tell
me
more?
Absolutely, Xander. So Shalom Center, we've been around for a long time, 41 years to be exact. And we're just a community resource that provides housing, food, guidance, and support to individuals and families in need across our entire community. Our mission is really simple. Like you were saying, we serve the community through food, shelter, and supportive ways. And we believe that this mission will help realize a greater vision for families and households in our community that are struggling. Our goal is for self-sufficiency by maximizing the potential in the people that we serve each and every day. So we get to do that in an array of ways through our different programs. I always like to say that we're a resource that just happens to do food, shelter, and guidance and those things.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what kinds of programs does that look like for you?
Sure. So we really have two umbrellas, and we're getting ready to add a third umbrella, but our main two umbrellas is our food programs and our shelter programs. So our food programs, which is how we actually got started in 1982, was our soup kitchen. That's one of our food programs. We serve nightly each and every day, 365 days a year, 7 days a week. In 41 years, we have never missed a meal, Xander.
Oh my gosh.
I know, and I don't think people really realize that. When we look at our history, we have never missed a meal. Rain, hail, sleet, or snow, we are open. If we're serving one person or 350 people, we will not close. We're open. Because that's what resources do, is you stay open and you take care of the community. So that's our soup kitchen, and we have two locations each night. We partner with two wonderful churches, Emmanuel Methodist and Christ the King. Those are our, we call them our Meals That Matter Hope partners. And then our other food program is our food pantry. Our food pantry, we provide healthy nutritional meals to about 11,500 unduplicated households a year within Kenosha County. And we love it. We have really revamped that program where we now do, where you can actually order online. So you can go to our website and actually order your food. It allows for free choice. self-selected food, and you get to like just pull up at your appointed time and grab your food and you're on your way. This allows us to do two things: serve people faster and serve more people, but then we're also giving them the option to choose what they want. So we're cutting back on the waste of food. For example, Xander, if you only want corn, we're gonna give you corn, not green beans, because you may not like green beans. So we think that that's a dignified way to give people food that are that it's in need. So that's kind of our food program. Then our shelter program consists of two areas as well. We have our single side, which is our INS, individuals needing nightly shelter, and then our family side, our emergency family shelter. We're an 82-bed facility, and within that facility, we have an array of programs for all of our shelter residents: rent smart classes, nutrition classes, empowerment classes. We have NA, AA, I mean, we have it all. We even have an OSHA 10 and forklift certification program. So yeah, we try to meet the people where they are and get them to their next best place.
Wow. So we're not just talking food shelter. It's kind of very enriching and like itself its own community of and training and all that at the Shalom Center, it seems.
It is.
And another thing, when you say you have not never missed a day for a meal, we're talking holidays, snow emergencies, freeze emergencies.
All of it. All of it.
Like, everyone else will be closed, but the center is still serving.
Shalom Center will be open. Absolutely. Absolutely. Even during COVID, we never closed our doors. We pivoted and we changed how we served, but we were always giving a meal. We never, ever, ever have missed a meal. And that's like, we are like grateful for that, that even have the opportunity to be able to serve the community in that capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how do things like COVID and other giant emergencies in the community, how does that affect how the center functions?
So that's a really funny question, Xander, because we talk about it often, even like, they say COVID's gone, but it's whatever. But we kind of laugh about it to this day, because for us, those aren't emergencies. Interesting, huh?
Really? Yeah.
We live in trauma. That's what we do. We are, we know trauma-informed care. We're crisis. We're that trauma and crisis resource in our community. So for us, our residents and our individuals that are needing our resources are usually in crisis. They're already in crisis. Mm-hmm. So COVID was just another thing for us that we had to overcome and had to just continue to serve in a different way, but we still served. It's almost like when you are in the ER, that's crisis and trauma. You don't close because we have COVID. You just redo how you do your services. So that's how we looked at COVID. It was just, another thing for us to have to overcome and to just try to navigate the waters, because the service doesn't go away. The need doesn't go away for shelter and food just because we have a pandemic. It didn't go away for us. It was still there for many, many people in our community. So we have to continue to serve. And that's just what we did. We just continue to be there for people.
Yeah. So how did the center adapt then for this new thing when it happened?
So we, for our food programs, we did our soup kitchen meals on the go. Mm-hmm. So we handed out hot nutritional meals at the door. For our pantry, we got a carport and we just let people drive up and we just put food in their car, right? They were prepacked food. And that's not how we used to give food. Before, you could come inside and actually grocery shop with a cart up and down the aisles. So because to be safe for everyone involved, we just had pre-packed boxes for every single family that came, and we just gave it out that way. In our shelter, of course, we spread out more, took away some of the communal living space to spread out beds and bunks, right? We put a lot of protocols in place where, you know, masks were sometimes required, depending on where we were in the levels, just making sure that everyone felt safe and fair. The challenge is when you have mental illness, right, and that your anxiety is high, we tried to do like games with the residents and kept the TV off. Right, because every news channel was talking about COVID and mm-hmm. how, you know, so we tried to keep as calm as we could with people and found other avenues and to navigate those uncomfortable situations that were going on outside of the shelter, right? So we did different things like reading and coloring and arts and games, bingo, and those kind of things, because we couldn't have volunteers come in. So it was really the staff doing all this stuff and doing all the classes, trying to keep consistency, trying to keep some normalcy for those that don't deal with, they were already dealing with their own internal traumas. Mm-hmm. So we just did a different, like just got really creative, Xander, to find different ways.
But in a similar vein, it's like if there's a snow emergency or freezing temperatures, you make adaptations for
Absolutely.
What's going on then.
Absolutely. That's why it wasn't any different for us. It was just another, we chuckle and say it was just another thing. It was just another thing that we had to get through. And I am proud of my staff. I'm proud of the leadership in our organization that just pushed through. Even they may have been going through their own internal, you know, personal things with COVID or, you know, the whole pandemic. We just pushed through, and I'm so grateful for a wonderful staff who just put themselves out there to take care of the ones that really didn't have anybody to take care of them. So it was great.
Yeah, you've mentioned trauma a few times when talking about COVID, but also just general emergencies and services, and that you're kind of just living with trauma at the center and working with it a lot. Could you talk a bit more about trauma in the community?
Well, there's different types of trauma, as you know, Xander. So, right? So, when you live with anxiety and you have different things going on in your life, which is our third new program that we've got launching this fall here, when you're dealing with trauma and crisis in your life personally, right? So it might be you've been evicted and you've lost everything, or it could just be you're fleeing from a domestic violence, you're a victim of crime, or it could just be you haven't dealt with your childhood trauma, right? So now you have schizophrenia or bipolar and all these things that go on in your own personal life. Then you have the cares of the world that impact all of that as well, right? Inflation, you lost your place, you can't afford groceries, you know, you lost your job, or they cut your hours, or child care is too high. All these outside, we call them social impacts. It's hard. It's really hard to just try to keep some normalcy, and getting up every morning is a trial for a lot of people. In shelter and out of shelter, right? But then just compound all the things that you have to go through when you're homeless. And so we have a trauma-informed model that we use to kind of meet people where they are and get them to their next best place. And I know I said that earlier, but that's really true, Xander. Each individual person is different. Each individual person's on a different journey, and they're at a different place in that journey. And so having to find out where they are, where do they want to be? What are their goals? Maybe they don't know what they are, but let's together figure out what that plan is and get them there.
Yeah, you specifically use the phrase next best place, which is kind of, it's not specific, but it's because it's for that each individual, their next best place might be different.
Correct.
So it's like if someone, say someone's been lost their job and they're, you know, temporarily, they're not able to live anywhere, their next best place may be something that the Shalom Center could help with getting a new job, getting some form of temporary
Absolutely.
Housing, something like that.
Absolutely. A lot of times, too, we'll have people that have relocated here. They've been here for about a year or two and then found themselves in some situation and now they're homeless. But their support system might be in Milwaukee or Chicago or, you know, Detroit or wherever they, you know, wherever their family is. It might even be right here in Racine. So for them, it might be getting back to that support system that they don't have here in Kenosha. And so that's their plan, and we're okay with that, right? Our goal is just to meet them where they are and figure out what the best plan is for them. Our goal is always rehousing, obviously, right? Getting you back stable, which is a housing first philosophy that we use, a housing first model. Meeting the people with the greatest needs, getting them housed first, then we can deal with everything else, right? And that might not be their plan. Their plan may be, you know what, I'm just trying to get back to Milwaukee because I've been here for 2 years, it didn't work out, and my entire family's in Milwaukee. Well, let's meet that, let's get that plan going.
So I imagine then that you are also communicating with different centers, not just in Kenosha, but different areas so that people could go back to where they have their support centers or somewhere else as well.
Absolutely. We're part of the Wisconsin Balance of State Continuum of Care, which is really just a all the homeless shelters and homeless providers across the state of Wisconsin. We use the same system, database system, and we're always constantly talking. And several of my leadership team is on statewide committees, and we're always knowing what's going on across the state. That's the state of Wisconsin, though. And we know that homelessness is not just in the state of Wisconsin, right? So knowing what's going on in Illinois and Cook County and Lake County, just our surrounding areas is really important to us. Even Minnesota or Iowa, just understanding the homeless dynamic because they filter here and we want to know what's happening in those communities.
Yeah, so as much as the Shalom Center is, you know, one of the well-known centers here, it's really connected with all sorts of communities across the state, across the borders of our state, and so much more. It's like that's a lot more work than it probably even sounds like, isn't it?
It is. But I have to go back to my team. I have a wonderful team. They're all in, and that just they're all they know. They're connected. They want to learn more. And so they're excited for when they learn something new and they're like, hey, you know, and why do we need to reinvent the wheel, right? If there's something that a shelter up in Manitowoc is doing really well, you know, and we can benefit for it down here in Kenosha, why would we reinvent the wheel? Why would we not visit Manitowoc and learn from them, right? We did that with our food pantry. When we wanted to do the ordering, why would we try to figure it out on our own? We reached out to our neighbors, which was happened to be all the way in Madison, though, and they had a wonderful pantry up there, and we learned from them, and we were able to quickly get our program up and running faster when you can partner and learn from each other.
Mm-hmm. So you have a wonderful team. I guess, how do you work to support your team that is supporting the community?
Get out of the way. Get out of the way. No. You know, they're strong. They know this industry. They know homelessness, and yeah, I have to say, I know I laughed at that, but really just empowering my team to go be great, go do what you do best, go do what you know to do. I'm always gonna be there. You know, I'm gonna always help lead and guide, but get out of the way and let them do their jobs. I think that's the best I can do. I have staff that have been there for 19, 20 years. And so little old me, who's only been there for 7 or 8, you know what, they know much, they've experienced much more. Mm-hmm. They've seen generations come through our shelter, right? And so let me get out of their way so that they can continue to do their job to the best of their ability. I know that they'll come to me when they need me, and they know that I'll be there when they need me.
Wow. So kind of bringing more of the community aspect, how have you seen the Kenosha community be changing when it comes to the issue regarding homelessness?
How do I see them changing?
Changing, or how has it been as well?
Well, we are an agency that is very small, believe it or not. And our budget is based on the community, to be honest with you. We can't do what we do without the community. We are not heavily funded by the state. We don't get all these federal grants. We get a very small amount from the county. We get a grant that we write for the city, right? So we're not governmentally funded. We're not under the city or the county. They don't fund us, right? So if it wasn't for the community and the donations that we get, both in kind and financial, we would extremely struggle. We would struggle. Mm-hmm. So we really, really rely on the community for our donations, financially and in kind, as well as even just like volunteering, right? We have a wonderful volunteer community, and that's dollars for us because they're helping us with not needing to hire staff. Without the community, we couldn't do what we do. It's very, very simple. We would have to probably close our doors tomorrow if we did not have the community support that we have. And that's unusual because most nonprofits have a lot of grants. They have a lot of, you know, foundation grants and federal funds, and we just don't. We're probably about 65% funded by the community, and the rest is through grants that I may write, or through the state, or there's like two or three foundations that we write for, but that's it.
Yeah, that's, wow. that is not, there's, I guess there's not a lot of state support really, and not necessarily through your end there. So I wonder, I guess when we're talking about like homelessness in the in this community, what is it that you see coming through the doors of the Shalom Center?
I see people that are hurting, people that need support, people that have severe mental illness, undiagnosed, untreated. I see people that are just needing support and help. And sometimes they don't even know what that is. They don't even know what that looks like. They don't even know where to begin. I see brokenness. I see people that have, but on the same side, which is weird, Xander, I see people that are very hopeful, that are very thankful, that are very like, I don't know what we would do without Shalom Center. I see people that are not mentally ill. I see people that have master's degrees coming through my shelter who just lost their job and didn't have a savings and now have found themselves evicted and homeless, who go to, who found another job and go to work every single day. About 55-60% of our residents go to work every single day. And the reason why it's so low is because some of them have mental illness and they can't work, or they have SSDI and they can't go to work, right? And so it's, I see a whole bunch of just emotions and feelings, but I see brokenness, but I also see hopefulness. So it's an array of emotions. I see kids every single day going to school on the bus, coming home from the bus, parents trying to keep some normalcy, trying to, you know, make things as normal as possible, even though they're in this horrible situation that they feel they're at the bottom, and we keep trying to tell them you're not, because there's a place lower than this, right? So it's you're okay. This is like the best place you can be. And so, hey, let's do it, right? So it's they're all over the place. Emotions are all over the place. And then we as staff have to keep our emotions in place, because we're seeing infants. We're seeing 2 months old babies that are coming into shelter with their mom or their dad. So we're trying to keep some positivity as well, because it could weigh on you, because we get to go home every night, Xander, you know. And so we try to make Shalom Center their home.
If you're just joining us, you are listening to WGDD's Community Matters with Xander Miller. We're speaking with Tamara Coleman of the Shalom Center, executive director of the Shalom Center. And so Tamara, we were just talking about what you see coming, who you see coming through your doors, and what issues you see. But what, I guess, of course, the Shalom Center is helping with issues of homelessness and trauma and all the scenarios that people are dealing with. But what resources or what other resources are there for people that you may reference to, you need to get support from, or even are trying to start up?
Oh, yeah. So I will say, when you look across the state and you look at other communities and how their human and social service agencies operate, I have to say Kenosha is like one of the top. When they hear about the services that we have for our residents in Kenosha County, they're pretty impressed. And then they're impressed at how we collaborate so well. So we have a group called Emergency Services Network. It's a group of emergency human and social service agencies across the whole county. And there's about 55 of us, I would say, 53, 55 agencies that meet every month. And we discuss the community and discuss our programming and discuss what's going on in the community as a whole, who's got services, what's changed in services. And that allows us to keep kind of connected. But one of the things I will say, Xander, is that's us, right? That's the ones that are doing the work every day. So the question becomes, how do we make sure that the community knows about the resources? Whether you're in shelter, whether you're looking for foster care, or whatever the case may be, how do we as that network make sure that the community knows that we even exist? We know we exist, right? I know what programs are out there, but I'm not the one seeking the services, right? It's the people that are coming to my door, or the people that don't even know our door may exist. So I would say that we're very program rich, but we need to maybe find a way to connect the community to those services. So during COVID, we had an opportunity at Shalom Center to really kind of sit back a little bit and look at the different programs in our community and what was needed and what was missing and what we're doing well and those kind of things, and what's the impact on Shalom Center as a whole. And we decided that we were going to build a community resource and crisis center. This is kind of a one-stop shop hub to connect people to resources. So now people will know they can come to this Hope Hub Community Resource Center, and they can come there and say, okay, I need this, 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 and this. And through direct services, through a case manager, we'll be able to connect them right there to that service. And when I mean connect, Xander, I don't mean hand them a brochure and say, call this number. It will be coming into the office, sitting down, and let's navigate the waters with you. And it will look different, like on our shelter side, it will look very different for each person. But we have to start serving people in a different way than just saying, we don't do that, or call over here. I think they do that over there. That when you're in trauma and you're in a crisis, that's the last thing you want to hear.
Yeah. So is this a service that is available like now?
It will be available in November.
Okay, so coming up soon.
Yeah, so we're hoping to have our grand opening late November. It's in construction right now, or we're getting there. And so we added on 10,500 square feet of space to our existing building. So it's still at our 39th Avenue location, just in the back of the building. We asked the community to help us name it. So we had a little vote and got the community involved. It was really fun. And they voted on Hope Hub. And hope to us means helping other people every day. So that made sense, right? And then hub, you know, is a connector, right? The middle and connecting all the pieces. And so we figured, how can we help other people every day to connect those pieces through our hub? And so we're really, really excited. And so we have a housing navigator now and a housing case manager that have already started connecting people to the housing, you know, market, getting them rental assistance or getting them connected to affordable, accessible housing or all those different things. We have a case manager, we'll have a resource director. We're just really, really excited to be able to help the community in such a different way. Shalom Center has always been helping people when they get to the center, right? If they come to us, we help them because mm-hmm. they're in shelter. Or if they come to the food pantry, we give them food. If they come to the soup kitchen, we give them food, right? This is different for us, Xander, because it'll be us actually reaching out to the community. And it's folks that may not need shelter, and maybe they will. We'll be a warming and cooling shelter during inclement weather conditions. We'll have washers and dryers and showers. The services are endless. We want to be able to allow for other community resources to come in if they need a little office space for 2 days a week, and like legal action agency and things like that. We want to have medical, dental, and behavioral health on property. We already do telepsych, so we'll venture that and make that part of the resource center as well. So the opportunities are endless, but we'll be able to help so many more people.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you're getting like a whole physical space you're building right now that's going to have all kind of this hub of resources, and not just be able to direct people. I think of libraries as like a place to direct people, but this is going to be, we're going to kind of do it and bring people here to work with you. You're going to, you know, stick around. We're going to bring people to you for that assistance. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yeah, kind of both. We'll bring the person to you, but better yet, you're going to sit down with me. And if Xander does rental assistance, I'm not going to just give you his card and say, go find Xander, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, sit down, let's call Xander together. and let's navigate this. And now you have an appointment with Xander at 3 o'clock today. He's expecting you. Here's where you're going to go. Here, you know, and you've spoken to Xander. He's told you what to bring. You know, we're going to guide them through and do a really nice handoff to Xander, mm-hmm. versus just giving them your card and saying best of luck to you. We don't do that here. Because when you're, like I said, when you're in crisis and you're in the middle of a storm, the last thing you want to hear is someone say, "We don't do that here," or "Sorry." You know, you want to hear, "Come on in, let's figure this out together." That's bringing hope into someone's life. That's giving them the hope that I'm going to get the help I need today. My trauma is going to get a little bit lighter today. My storm is going to get a little better today. And that's what we should be doing when you work in human and social services. It's just so important for me to see us serve our community different, because I see the need. I see the eyes of the people that need our help. And it just hurts me when I know that we can't do anything for them, because, yes, I might not be able to do rental assistance because that's not one of our programs, right? Well, you know what? I know 3 other agencies that do, so we're going to sit down together and we're going to figure this out together. And that's serving people differently than just handing them off.
Yeah, it's taking advantage of that network. You know, you've mentioned you've got this whole big network that Absolutely. Is there, and you all know each other, but the people on the street, like, say I walked in, I don't know that you have this whole network that exists. And I mean, when you said, you know, you've had folks with a master's degree comes in, I have a master's degree, could be me too.
Absolutely. And we saw it time in and time out during COVID, because remember I mentioned earlier, we didn't have any volunteers that could actually help us with our programs, right? Mm-hmm. We had to do it ourselves. So there were times that I was outside doing intake for our food pantry, and I would see people pull up and they'd be in tears. Tears for several different reasons, but two of them specifically were as they were very grateful that they could get food. And number two, they were kind of embarrassed because they did not know where to even go to get the help, but they knew they donated to the Shalom Center before. Mm-hmm. So I had donors coming through to get food because they may have been a stay-at-home mom, dad was furloughed, whatever the case may be. But they knew that they donated to the Shalom Center in some capacity over their life, right? Mm-hmm. And so they knew to at least get food from us. And talking to them in the cars while they were waiting, it was like, gosh, are you doing WIC? Because I see a car seat in the back seat, you know. Or did you go to FSET for food share? They didn't know any of those programs. And it's easy for you and I, Xander, to say, well, you didn't Google, you know, you didn't Google. I mean, but there should be some local place in Kenosha County where there is a hub where you can go and say, I don't know what to do, or better yet, it may not be me personally. It might be, hey, my daughter or my son or my mother, you know, she's elderly and she needs some services. They may not know about ADRC, right, or CAFASI. Mm-hmm. Well, great, we're going to connect them all to that. Or, you know, my mother-in-law needs a walker and I can't afford one. I don't even know where, you know, and her insurance won't cover. Whatever the case may be. Well, do people know that CAFASI has a little closet that you can rent things from? Like, you know, toilets and all those kind of things for when you're recovering. We're going to be able to connect people, and it's just doing it in a different way. It's not to take away from anybody's programs or that people aren't doing it right. We just want to enhance and help connect people to their services. Mm-hmm. And it just looks different, and I'm excited that we can do it. We have the opportunity to do it, and it's going to help our community.
You've mentioned when you're in that, like, you're in the midst of trauma, the worst thing is that, oh, there's more for you to do.
Right. Here's another list.
So I'm excited. You know, there are some people that it's going to work where they, you know, get a phone number and they want to do it. But that this is coming up sounds amazing. And I feel like now, again, similar to when COVID dropped, like, first started and came through as another trauma, there's more trauma with rising inflation. A lot of, like, say, tech industry jobs are kind of being laid off and all sorts, and we've got different strikes going on as well. I'm guessing you're seeing more people coming in just with a different area of trauma than, say, 2-3 years ago.
Absolutely. Food, people coming in for food. Our numbers have increased dramatically. We're getting, I mean, over the last 3 years, the number of first-time people coming to our food pantry was just through the roof. And as much as difficult it was for us to keep up with the demand, it was also, we're grateful that we were there to be able to provide the service to those that needed us. Mm-hmm. Soup kitchens the same way. Even if it's just getting that nightly meal to, you know, to sustain the current groceries they may have at home, right? It's just filling in the gap. But yeah, shelter has been tremendous. Rental assistance, we get calls every day. Oh, at least a dozen. I mean, it's nonstop. Every other phone call is, I need this, I need that. Do you know where I can call for this? And or someone said that you may do rental assistance. And it's just affordable, accessible housing. We won't go down that path, but it's definitely a need in our community. And we see it firsthand with people that we're trying to move out of shelter who have jobs, who don't have evictions, who aren't felons, you know, all those barriers that are preventing some to, from just getting into the door of an apartment, can't afford it. And they have decent jobs. I'm talking working, you know, making $20 an hour and still cannot afford a unit here in Kenosha. So those are all the things that we have to tackle, and those are all the barriers that are against us in trying to help those that are trying to get back on their feet.
Yeah, and I wanna ask this, not just for us, like us two here, because I think between us we're gonna know the answer, but for everyone else, you mentioned that you had people that were coming to the food pantry that seemed embarrassed to be there. With what you've experienced, what would you say for someone who may be struggling or maybe on seeing the path forward is going to be a struggle? What would you say if they're feeling embarrassed about reaching out for help with the Shalom Center or with any other agency?
Absolutely. So we at the Shalom Center pride ourselves in serving food and serving people with dignity. This is why I love our online ordering system. So they can go to www.shalomcenter.org/food pantry, and they can actually order their food. You don't have to even talk to anybody. You can literally go online, order what you need, pick a date and time that you want to come. You pull up, you give your last name. They tell you, no problem, park. And someone brings your car, the food to your car, you pop your trunk, you don't even have to get out, Xander. And the food goes in your car, you back out, and you drive off. So the human contact is less, which probably will help you with your anxiety or your stress or your embarrassment that you may be feeling. We have to get rid of the stigma that when you come to a food pantry that you're, you know, less than, or you're lazy, because we hear that too. Why don't they just get a job? We hear that all the time. The homeless need to just get a job and pull their bootstraps up and get themselves together. And then I say to those people, you know what? Well, what if they don't have boots? They got the straps, but no boots. So how do they pull their bootstraps up if they don't have any boots? Right? Mm-hmm. And so people do go to work. People do, you know, things happen all the time. If I was to get into a car accident right now and broke both my legs and couldn't work, and I mean, who knows what could, I mean, like you said, Xander, I think we're all, it could be any of us. It could be my children. It could be your children. It could be my mother, my father. The people could be endless, and we have to get rid of the stigma that they're less than. They're our neighbors. They're our community. Our community as a whole strives better when we're all doing better. And that's why it's going to take all of us to help those that need a little bit more help and a little bit more assistance to get to their next best place.
Again, the next best place, I love it.
It's so true, it is so true. Because everyone's different, right? That's what makes the world go round. So it makes all of us unique, is that we all have different places, right? And so what works for Tamara doesn't work for Xander, and vice versa. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that Tamara is better than Xander or Xander is better than Tamara. It's just how we do it. We've got to remove the stigma of when people are not like us or they're different than us that there's something wrong with them, or they're not doing it the right way because they didn't do it the way you do it.
Okay. So you've mentioned that the a lot of the support for the Shalom Center comes from the community, mm-hmm. individuals in the community, donors
yes.
of some sort, all of that. Say we're listening to this this broadcast on radio and are like, wow, I really want to learn how I can assist the Shalom Center and make this community resource more sustainable, make it better. How would people, I guess I should ask, what does the Shalom Center need, first of all?
Oh, my goodness. What don't we need? So we have a needs list that's updated almost every week. And we have an ongoing needs list, and then we have an immediate needs list, because those things change as well. So I would just encourage everyone to go to our website at shalomcenter.org, and we have a needs list, and check it out and see what maybe you can contribute to. We always, always, always are needing cleaning supplies, garbage bags, you know, those basic necessities that help us run the shelter every day. We always need food pantry items, our non-perishable items. Do a food drive. We love food drives, right? Because they help stock our shelves. But they can check out our website, get all of the needs list on there. And I will say that we also have an array of ways that you can volunteer with us through our food pantry. We love when corporations get together or departments within an organization get together and come in and help us with our box build. I don't know if people even know that we partner with Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency, and we are the builders of the Community Stock Box Program, which is senior boxes. So we build about 1,200 senior boxes for low-income seniors in both Kenosha and Racine every month. And so we love for groups to come in and build those boxes. So we've got those opportunities. But yeah, we have an array of ways you can give back to the Shalom Center, which ultimately impacts your community as a whole. And so we would love for people to donate financially as well, because it helps with our bottom line. It helps us run the agency as a whole. And so however anyone can give, we're grateful. However, they from $5 to $5,000, we don't care. It's every penny counts.
Yeah, so your needs list, those two. I'm glad those get updated
yes,
as well,
because
that's like, it's going to get used, essentially.
Absolutely. And we'd rather you know our ongoing needs list. And then sometimes people will call and say, you've had this on there for 2 months. And we're like, yep, that's our ongoing needs list. But then every once in a while, we'll post like our urgent needs. Like right now, we need toilet paper. Toilet paper is a hot commodity, right? So toilet paper, paper towels, those kind of things. But we're approaching the winter months, right? So we know gloves and hats and scarves and socks and those kind of things will become necessities. If you don't know what to donate and you still aren't clear on our needs list, you can always call our office at 262-658-1713, and our front desk receptionist will guide you right through it all.
Yeah, and all of that's on your website. Could you say what
Absolutely.
Your website is again?
Sure, it's Shalom Center, all one word. So Shalom Center, Center, one word, .org.
Okay, so Tamara, any last words you'd like the community to know about you, the Shalom Center, the work you've done, trauma and homelessness in Kenosha? Any last words you'd like to say?
Yeah, I would just like to thank the community for all that they do for the Shalom Center. We would not be who we are today after 41 years without Kenosha County and the residents of this community supporting us like they do. Our volunteers are amazing. We've got volunteers that come every single day and sacrifice their time and their energy to make sure that we can thrive and do what we need to do for our residents and within shelter. And so I just want to say thank you, and thank you, Xander, for allowing me to share about the Shalom Center. I don't think people really know what we do all the time, and so whenever we can get a chance to share what we do, it's always awesome. So just thank the community. Thank you, Xander. And again, I encourage people to visit our website, get involved, and make a difference in our world.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you.
This has been WGTD's Community Matters with Xander Miller. Everyone, I hope you have a nice, wonderful rest of your day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Well, this week on WGTD's Noon Tunes, we're featuring the music of the Kenosha Pops Concert Band. At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So please join us for Noon Tunes Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.